podcast. I'm excited to welcome the host of Love Is Podcast, Kim Sorrell. Kim, how are you? And I know you're excited about our guest.
I'm doing great, Neil. Thank you. And yes, I am very excited about our guest, Valerie Brown. Oh my word, I think your biography is probably 20 pages long. You've done so much, lawyer, lobbyist, figuring life out, doing all kinds of things. You're a teacher at Plum Village. You've authored, I don't even know how many books. And I appreciate everything that I've listened to, everything I've read about you. You are amazing. You've got this new book that just came out with a couple of co-authors, Healing Our Way Home, Black Buddhist Teachings on Ancestors, Joy, and Liberation. Welcome to the show, Valerie. And I know we don't have so much time. I could talk to you forever. So I have a question right off the bat. So this book sounds like an amazing endeavor, like fun to do, probably sit down and talk to these other incredible women. But one of the things in the subtitle is about it says family origins. And identity is a thing, right? Like knowing where you're from. Talk about that a bit.
First, Kim and Neil, thank you so much for having me. This is such a delight to be on the show and to meet your audience. Yeah, Kim, I really appreciate that shout out for identity and ancestors. And it's right up there in the subtitle of the book. Why? Why ancestors? Many things. We live with a sense of alienation. And particularly as people who identify as Black, Indigenous, and a person of color, we've had more than 400 years of alienation from enslavement. And so to have this sense that one is connected to yourself, connected to your ancestors, that we have a living legacy, I think is incredibly important. Several years ago, the then Surgeon General issued a stunning report in which he described a loneliness epidemic in which people feel not only disconnected to other people, but they feel disconnected to themselves. And so this sense that we have a home, that we have a home within ourselves, that we belong, we have a sense of belonging in our communities, in our homes, and that this sense of belonging and connectedness, researchers say, this is not important. This is a biological imperative. We actually cannot survive as a species without the sense of interdependence, interconnectedness. And so that begins with this sense within myself of I'm coming back home to myself, to my body, to being here. Even as I'm talking with you, I can feel my feet on the ground. That's a sense of coming home.
So there's a lot of education that needs to be done. And that's why you're co-author of this book then, it sounds like.
Yeah, and this isn't done by one person. And that's why the book is a conversation among these three people, myself as a former lawyer lobbyist, Dr. Maricela Gomez as a public health expert and physician, and Kara Jewel Lingo as a former nun and religious.
Yeah, well, it's so interesting. Everything that you had to say is just so true. Loneliness is such a big deal. And a feeling of belonging. I've got a granddaughter who she leads a committee at her school about that is inclusive and belonging, right in the title of their committee. And it is at any age and everywhere. And so often I think we label people. We shove people to the side, or we move them away, or we don't befriend them because of something or whatever, when we're all walking on that same earth that keeps us grounded, right? And there should be more. Go ahead.
Right. And, you know, we live in a very digital world where we are in either continuous or partial distraction. You know, we're busy, we're rushed, we're hurried, we're multitasking. And so all of this just living a 21st century life, forget anything else, just that alone is going to affect our sense of being connected to ourselves. And so that's going to affect how we develop relationships, not just with ourselves, but with other people.
So if we're not connected to ourselves, we can't develop relationships with other people. Kind of define what you mean by that.
It's hard to give what you don't have, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, like it's really hard to be present if you're not present. It's really hard to listen to another person with a sense of understanding as opposed to listening for rebuttal or listening for disagreement. Or listening to fix somebody who is broken. That's a very different experience. And so if we don't in ourselves cultivate these skills of how to listen, you know, how to focus, how, you know, and I don't mean sitting in a cave in the Himalayas. I mean to be able to just give our undivided attention without being distracted by a cell phone. For 2 minutes. And we know the research proves like what that does when we bring the cell phone, when we're distracted. So Maya Angelou had this wonderful quote, you know, people forget what you said, they forget what you did, but they never forget how they felt around you. Mm-hmm. And so this is about cultivating a felt sense within ourselves of coming home, feeling grounded, feeling calm, feeling okay with ourselves in the midst of political polarization, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of climate change, in the midst of all of this, so that we can discern the right path for us and take action that really is beneficial, not just to us, but to all beings.
Wow, I love everything you just said. And talking about listening is huge. To me, listening is love. And if you really love whoever you're with, including yourself, you're going to listen. But if you love the person that you're with, which we should just love everybody, then your ears should open up and your full attention should go there. And I think because we've had so many distractions and have so many distractions, it's easy to be in conversation and think about what you're going to cook for dinner, where you need to stop on the way home, you know, who's going to soccer practice or whatever. And so it's practice, right? You need to practice to get there so that you can just hone in and show that love, that you love that person so much. You realize this is the most important moment of your life is right here, right now. So how was that for you to transition from lawyer lobbyist, go get them, do it all to listen?
Well, yeah, I tell the story at length in the book. And like most things, you know, it was rough. there were a lot of tumbles. So I didn't go to law school to become a Dharma teacher. When I passed the New Jersey bar exam, like ages and ages ago, in 1983, I had no intention of being a Dharma teacher. My intentions were crass, I have to say. They were to make money and to get out of Brooklyn. And Brooklyn was not the fancy, swanky place it is today. It was a place you wanted to leave. And so I took this very aggressive, type A, hard-nosed, win-at-all-cost attitude into my life and into my work. And it was killing me from the inside out. So one day I'm sitting in my apartment with my brother in New York, in Manhattan, and we open the New York Times, and there's a picture of this Zen master. His name is Thich Nhat Hanh, a Vietnamese Zen master. Now, my brother knew nothing about Thich Nhat Hanh. He knew nothing about Buddhism. But this Zen master, Thich Nhat Hanh, was giving a talk, a public talk, just down the street from our apartment at the Riverside Church. My brother knew a lot about me. He knew I was this type A, like off the wall, crazy person. And he said, you might want to go down there and listen to this guy. So I did. I walked out of the talk a few hours later, skeptical. Because if I bought into what Thich Nhat Hanh said, everything that I had done up until that point was the opposite of what he was saying in the talk about love and compassion. My life was the opposite of that. But I knew that that touched a nerve. That talk, his embodiment of peace and love, touched a nerve in me. And so I started practicing meditation. And I was a closet meditator, actually, because in the early 90s, it was not acceptable for a lawyer or a Black person to be practicing meditation. Forget it. So, yeah. So I would practice meditation at night and on the weekends. And then I'd be in my business suit and stand in the Hall of Congress and try to persuade and influence people about passing a bill or passing a policy. And so this went on and on for years. And then slowly, the practice of meditation began to change me from the inside out. How I spoke to people, how I listened, how I breathed, how I stood. My whole being changed inside. And then people began to say to me, gee, you don't seem like a lawyer. And I would say, like, what the heck is the matter with that person? I still couldn't see it until I did. The identity crisis happened, and I had to figure out, I'm no longer a lawyer. I spent all this time being a lawyer. Who am I now?
You know, Valerie, it's when you make this mindset change of who you are as a being, how you react, how you act, how you do different things. It changes who you really, your daily practices, what you do. Meditation, such a powerful thing. I do a lot of self-hypnosis where I listen to audiobooks of people involving law of attraction, stuff like that, all night, every night for 7-8 hours. And it's eliminated a lot of my pain, flight and flight, different anger, all those things disappeared because I saw there's no need to do any of that. And then of jealousy, of different things that keep us from doing what we need to do. When your mind is clear and it's focused on serving and helping others and doing what's best, it really keeps you away from all the worry, fear, anxiety, and things that you deal with when you practice something that can, especially meditation, self-hypnosis, transformative in so many ways.
I really love that. And it's so true that we can't do this alone. And this is why it took three of us to write this book, is that we need to develop practices that become habitual, that we commit to, right? And so when you commit to these practices, like, this is saying, I'm coming home to myself, right? I'm willing to invest in myself, and not in a narcissistic, hedonistic way, right? But to be in service to greater love. I see the sign behind you, Kim, love is. Yeah, because all in service of love. And we don't do this alone. It takes a village. We need to have friends on the path who understand, who are also on the same path, who aren't going to condemn and criticize and say, oh, why do you want to do that?
No. Yeah. And it's amazing. And it's hard to heal, to get people to go that path. Now, Kim, you could have a quick love question for our guest, Valerie, really fast before we have to head her out to the next interview.
Yeah. Actually, Love is a book that I wrote after dedicating a full year to figuring out the true meaning of love. And the things that I found out blew my mind, rocked my world. And everything that you're talking about is so love-centered. And I know you do the El Camino. I want to do that so bad. Maybe I'll do it with you someday. But where do you see love playing a role in everything, in your awakening, your understanding of yourself in a different way? Where is love involved?
Yeah. It's the ground. It's the ground of my being. And in some ways, this word love is a very, very big and charged word. Love. And as a single person searching for love, you know, like this is, it feels almost unattainable and inaccessible. But one of the things that I've come to understand is that love really begins with accepting ourselves as we actually are. All the good, all the not so good, that's love. And then accepting others, the good, the not so good. I'm not saying trauma bonding. I'm not saying being in an abusive relationship, but being able to really make the distinction, you know, between really accepting people as they are. And this is not easy. You know, this takes practice. And one of the greatest foundations of mindfulness is the realization that I can be alive and in this moment, like right here, right now. And that's love. So many people have the experience of holding hands with a child or being with a grandparent, but they're not really there. It's like, oh yeah, you know, it's just another thing. Until a tragedy happens, or we know, you know, something, crisis happens, then it gets our attention. But if we could bring that quality of, I'm really there. I'm really there for you. I'm really there for myself. And to share that with other people, that's really love. And I think that's a great gift.
So powerful. Best place we can purchase your book and learn more about you. Where can we go?
Yes. So it's Healing Our Way Home, Ancestors, Black Buddhist Teachings on Ancestors, Joy and Liberation. It's available at bookstores everywhere, including Amazon and on Parallax Press. That's Parallax Press. And if people want to get in touch with me, you can reach me at my website, which is valeriebrown.us. That's valeriebrown.us.
Thanks, Valerie. Appreciate it. Okay, that was a special simulcast of the Neil Haley Show and the Love Is Podcast, guys. Take care.